In our church, we have both a lectern and a pulpit. My historical understanding and the current usage is that the congregational teaching minister uses the lectern to read and instruct on the scripture, which is the focus of the worship on the Sunday. The pulpit is used by the preaching or exhorting minister, for his or her task is to bring about change in the lives of the people in the congregation. In many churches like ours today, since we don't have three-hour worship services like the early pilgrims did, is that Bible study takes the place of the instruction of what the scriptures say, while the message or the sermon is to bring about a change in a person's life. We need both. We need to understand scripture, and we need also to be stirred through scripture in preaching to lead a good life. In today's message, I want to talk about the book of Proverbs, which is one of the wisdom books of the Bible. But how does a preacher exhort about wisdom? Wisdom is aligned with character and a virtuous life. Can any preacher encourage a listener to want to have good character, to be virtuous, or to make prudent choices? Maybe there's a way to do it, but I can't figure out how, because the motivation must come from within a person. Throughout lives, each of us asks these serious questions, like how did life start in the universe? How did it start in the oceans? How did it start on land? And how will our life end? What will afterlife be like? And for many, whether or not there is an afterlife. While we live, we question why there is suffering and pain. And why don't people agree with our thinking, our political views, our religious views, our sports teams' views? But the wisdom books of the Bible give us help on how to live a good life, and in doing so give us hints on how to answer the questions we have of life itself. But yet sometimes there are these little trivial questions that float around that have no real meaning, but yet we also want answered. For example, why when tickets for front row Packer seats are so expensive, or Broadway show, and everyone wants to buy these very expensive seats that cost more than the seats in the back, why don't more people sit in front in the church? Or we can ask another question is, when people toast, why do they clink glasses? Or the other one is, why can't the Packers play the same way every game? But then we always return to those basic questions asked since the time of cave dwellers, when we observe decisions, foolish decisions made by various people, and we just wonder, what were they thinking? I'm a fan of the Dilbert cartoons, which appear in the business section of the newspaper. It doesn't appear in the Sunday paper, but I have the app for it, and I did look this morning, and Dilbert turns to a coworker, and there's no one at the business meeting, and Dilbert says, "Why isn't there anyone else here? I thought you invited everyone." And he said, "It's not in my job description." I love the fun that Dilbert's creator, Scott Adams, pokes at irrationality. And I think that anyone who has lived, and especially an organizational life, has to appreciate Dilbert's slant on life. But yet in the majority of times, we do see wisdom. We do see rational and prudent decisions being made. So I ask, what makes a person wise? Why do some individuals and some decisions that people make are wise decisions? How does a person achieve wisdom? Scholars tell us that wisdom can be attained not only through books, but also by interaction with many different kinds of people in many diverse circumstances, and then to reflect on these life experiences. Wise decisions can also be made by not rushing into rash assessments leading to bad choices. Wise decisions can also be made by consulting people who are trustworthy and wise themselves. Wisdom can also be learned by reading and listening carefully to what wise people have said before. So it's not simply living many years and having numerous experiences which give us wisdom, but listening and seeing, and then being open to what we have heard and see, and then musing over it. But we can only think about what we have been open to. Plato, a Roman philosopher who lived 200 years before Jesus was even born. So that's 2,200 years ago, wrote this: "Not by years, but by disposition is wisdom acquired." Plato held that if a person is not open to learn, then a person will not acquire wisdom. However, if a person is willing to thoughtfully assimilate what is offered to them through life and through knowledge, then wisdom is attainable. Now, one way of picking up wisdom is through common folk statements. And folk statements are one form of common sense, and they've been passed down through the ages. We did some with the children's message today. Abraham Lincoln said, "I have never met or heard of anyone who could outsmart honesty." Ben Franklin warned us, "You may delay, but time will not." Longfellow shared with us, "Music is the universal language of mankind." President William H. Taft said, "Let every man strive to add a good name to his other capital." Now, throughout the Bible, there are many wise sayings in many of the books, including the book of Proverbs, but the book of Proverbs is dedicated to wisdom. The book of Proverbs is a collection of sayings many thousands of years old, and these sayings were uttered and then remembered year after year, decade after decade, century after century, and then eventually written down to teach both young and old how to live an authentic and wise life, a good life lived with common sense. These are just a few of the wise sayings contained in the book of Proverbs, sayings now we even earnestly desire to pass on to our children and our grandchildren, our great-grandchildren. Hatred stirs up strife, but love covers all offenses. Whoever heeds instruction is on the path to life, but one who rejects a rebuke goes astray. Doing wrong is like sport to a fool. Whoever belittles another lacks sense. One who is trustworthy in spirit keeps a confidence. A generous person will be enriched. Now, some of the sayings in Proverbs are very straightforward and to the point. Those who hate to be rebuked are stupid. Fools think their own way is right. Fools show anger at once, but the prudent ignore an insult. And many of the Proverbs mirror the Beatitudes of Jesus, such as, "Deceit is in the mind of those who plan evil, but those who counsel peace have joy." And, "The tongue of the wise brings healing." So each of these Proverbs leads us to greater knowledge, but yet if we take the time to ponder them, they can lead us to insight, and insight leads to wisdom. So I question, is wisdom just another word for common sense? Which leads us to anonymous wisdom sayings, which show us a lot of common sense, such as, "He who laughs last thinks the slowest." "Never do card tricks for the people you play poker with." With that, let us move to the question of whether intelligence or knowledge alone are other terms for wisdom. I think there are significant differences because wisdom is a deep perception, a profound insight into what life is all about. For example, we all know of some intelligent people who do not often make intelligent or wise decisions. So then I ask, is wisdom aligned with prudence? And to answer that question, can we agree that one who possesses wisdom does show good judgment? And can we agree that a person who makes wise decisions confirms that he or she has the ability to foresee the ramifications which may occur after the first action is made? And what I just said was a long way of stating a wise person can foresee what can happen based on the choices they have in front of them. For example, if a choice is made for A, then B will follow, then C, then D, then E, and so on. But on the other hand, if a person doesn't see the triggering that occurs and can't see that B follows from A and vice versa, it's just a person's not making wise decisions. They cannot foresee the future. So I think part of wisdom is the fact that a wise person can see beyond the first action they make, and perhaps a person who makes poor choices cannot see beyond the first action they make. So I think that if a person is open to life experiences, gains common sense, and over the years gathers the maxims of life, foresees results, therefore gains in wisdom. But then the question, well, how does a person open up to life? When a baby is born, the child considers itself to be the center of its own universe. I know I did. My parents tell me my first words were mine. Even as a youngster, the child demands its own way. We know of the terrible twos and 22s and 42s. But then comes the independence which an adolescent naturally seeks. And even in adulthood, we continue to search for and assert our identities as we should. Because what we're doing is we're trying to figure out who we are, how we fit into the world, and how we fit into everyone else around us as we interact with others. So I think that the reason that the biblical wisdom books, such as the book of Proverbs, were edited and assembled is to help us realize who we are and how we are to perceive ourselves and perceive our neighbor and perceive our God and then act with wisdom. Solomon, who many attribute to be the author, at least the editor of the book of the Proverbs, was a person who began to broaden his understanding of life and in doing so realized his dependence upon God. And as he desired greater interaction with God, he began to understand that as he somehow became closer to God, he did so by gaining in wisdom. The very first eight verses of the book of Proverbs, in chapter 1, which is probably written by Solomon himself, states this: "The Proverbs of Solomon, son of David, king of Israel. The Proverbs for learning about wisdom and instruction. Proverbs for understanding words of insight. Proverbs for gaining instruction in wise dealing, righteousness, justice, and equity. Proverbs to teach shrewdness to the simple, to teach knowledge and prudence to the young. Let the wise also hear and gain in learning, and the discerning inquire skill to understand a proverb and a figure, the words of the wise and their riddles." And then he continued with these very famous words you've all heard: "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction." So for thousands of years now, the book of Proverbs continued to sit on the shelves of the biblical library. It was one of the books that Jesus studied. And this is the Jesus that said, I am the way and the truth and the life. Jesus announces he is the font of wisdom. Jesus tells us about life experiences in his parables and in his own and through his own life. Jesus shows us common sense, teaches the maxims of a good life shown through the Beatitudes and the Sermon on the Mount and in his interaction with people. If we follow Jesus, really follow him, then our decisions will be wise, because our decisions will be based upon what Jesus reveals as the most important: the kingdom of God on earth and in heaven. And the final test is the love that Jesus proved. Well, I promised to answer three questions which may plague many. Why, when tickets for a front row seat to a Packer game or Broadway or other theater cost a lot more than back seats, and the front rows are always filled, why are front rows in churches free? And of course, why do people clink glasses? Let's take the first one first. Some may feel that if a preacher gets too zealous, for example, like in the chapel where the preacher is very close, he or she may spit while talking. Others may feel that the preacher will stare at those in the front seat. Others feel that if there's a baptismal font, the water will splash on them. Others may want to leave because if the sermon is boring, it's easier to walk out. Which is why a young boy turned to his mother once and said, "I want to be a preacher." She said, "Well, you never mentioned this before. Why do you want to be a preacher?" He said, "I'd rather stand and talk than sit and listen." Some may feel that it's easier to close one's eyes and sleep in the back of the church, harder to do in front. And of course, there's always those biblical students who will quote Jesus and say, The first will be last, and the last will be first. And so, now, why do people clink glasses when they toast? Some explanations have to do with getting rid of evil spirits or showing there's no poison in a glass. Perhaps the best explanation is that in the olden days, everybody passed one cup around to show unity. But then when times of plague came about, they realized that that was not a good idea. So each had their own glass, and to show unity, they would just toast each other and clink. As to the Packer question, I have no idea why they don't play the same time.
Neither do they.
So why do I include these three seemingly silly, if not trivial, questions? Because each in their own way are not high wisdom, but they're ways of showing common sense and an approach to life. It's almost like if you look at the wisdom of somebody who's a great folksperson, and that's Will Rogers. He said, "If there are no dogs in heaven, then when I die, I want to go where they went." Will Rogers also said, and since I'm constantly striving to gain wisdom and possibly increase in it, I have to pay close attention to one of his other statements, and I quote, "Never miss a good chance to shut up." With that, as we leave the Book of Wisdoms and a brief discussion of Proverbs, may I wish all those sitting in the back and the middle and the front a tip of the glass, the blessings which Jesus brought to us, and all of the wisdom that the Holy Spirit brings to us from the beginning of time till the end of time. Amen.